Turn to the book of Jeremiah, please, tonight. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, but I'm going to be in chapter 8 also tonight a little bit. But the main verse is going to come out of chapter 6 in the book of Jeremiah, and it's going to be verse 16. But then I'm going to go to chapter 7. But I just want to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. Thank you for thy presence. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here. And thank you, Father, for just allowing me to be able to stand here tonight. This night in thy presence, and my prayer is that you'll just speak to my heart tonight. Here tonight, I just want to look at a couple things here in the book of Jeremiah, here and in the sixth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. He says in verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, I will not walk therein." And over here in chapter 7 in verse 1, and I want you to focus on the old path, but think about the old path. The old path is what God is speaking about. The old path is speaking about the Word of God. It's speaking about His precious Word, that we need to get back to the old path. We need to get back, and thus says the Word of God. He's not asking us to go back, and we need to turn back, and we need to go back to the 30s and the 40s. And go back and come to church and worship Him the way we did then. No, He's asking us to go back to the old path, considering God's Word. And God's Word is just as up to date today as it was back in the 20s. It was just as up to date as back as it was in the days of Noah and the day of Paul and the day of Peter and all of them. The Word is just as much up to date, more up to date than the news, and more up to date than the newspaper. And even we can look at the newspaper and everything, but when we do, we can look at the newspaper. When we can read the newspaper, the only thing the newspaper can do is they can just look at tomorrow and see what tomorrow may bring. But we can look in God's Word, and God's Word will tell us what tomorrow will bring. Not what it may bring, but what it will bring. He can tell us what it will bring us. But He also says here in the New Testament there, and He's speaking about, basically speaking about the old path back in, and in New Testament also, He brings up the book of Jeremiah there. But He also says that, hey, salvation is today. He says today is the day of salvation. He didn't say tomorrow is the salvation. He said today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow never comes to a Christian. Tomorrow will never come our way. Why? Because when we get into tomorrow, where are we at? We're in today, right? We're in today. And I tell people all the time, I've had people to argue with me about that. And I says, I'm going to tell you something. I says, turn around and look at the clock. And they just look at me like, hey, man, you crazy. I tell them, turn around and look at the clock. Look at the clock. Look at the watch. I says, when it when his hands go all the way around to midnight, as soon as it strikes 1 second past midnight, you don't say anything. Well, I hope the Lord does something to me for tomorrow. No, it's today. We have to go through 12 hours. We have to go through 12 hours before we can get to a brand new day. And it's a brand new day. Why? Because God has touched our bodies, God has touched our eyes, God has touched our hearing, and God has touched us to the point to where we can rise up to a new day. That is what he's speaking about, the old path. We must remember what the old path was. We must remember the way they walked and the way they walked back in the old path. How did we walk in the old path? How did we walk when we first got saved? How did we come to church, and what did we do when we first got saved? I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. I wanted to tell everybody that I met, I wanted to tell them what Jesus done for me. I wanted to tell them what Jesus done for me. It didn't make no difference. There was a black, white, red. Didn't it make no difference? If they was Jew, Catholic, or whatever. I told them. If I knew them, I would go on and tell them. Matter of fact, then it worked. The next day after I got saved on that Monday night, I went into work the next day. And the next morning, I went into work. And the supervisor down there, he said something to me. He come by me and passed me. And he says, Donnie, he says, something different about you this morning. I said, yeah, it sure is. I said, this morning I ain't going to hell. I said, yesterday I was going to hell. I said, but today I'm going to heaven. I said, I got saved last night. You know what he said? He said, God bless you. He said, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. Then it won't long, the owner of the company, he come in. And when he come in, and when he came forth, and he come up to me and asked me, said, how you doing today? I said, I'm feeling fantastic, feeling great. He said, man, you look, you must, something's going your way or something, because you sure have got a smile on your face. He said, what in the world happened to you? I said, I got saved last night. I got born again last night. He said, what? And he's a Jew. He was a Jew. And he practiced the old Jewish tradition. That they ain't never seen Jesus here. He ain't come the first time. Well, you think I was embarrassed? He says, what? I said, I showed this. I got born again. I says, I had the Jewish blood running through my body, through my veins. He says, what? He said, you ain't no Jew. I said, well, a Jew saved me. And a Jew released all the blood that I had because it was corrupt. And he applied his blood to my life. He's a man. I don't know what's wrong with you today. I said, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven if he comes back today. I said, are you going? If he come back today, if he calls the church home today, are you going? He said, he ain't come the first time. I said, well, if he ain't come the first time to you, then you ain't going. And you going to hell. I wanted to tell everybody. I wasn't embarrassed. I wanted to tell everybody what God done for me. I saved. Hey, hallelujah. What it was the old path of the individual that came to me and brought me the word of the living God. That was the old path that they brought to me. It wasn't this new path, the new path that everybody's practicing today, the new path that the people are practicing today. They'll come to church and the pastor's up there preaching and he's up there
reading from his scripture and everything that he has, and it might have been reading from a good housekeeping book, because it's not the word of God. If there is one portion of scripture that leaves after deity of Christ, you can throw the rest of it in the trash. Because it has deleted the most important thing. Now, I've got an NIV at the house, and I'm gonna search it out, and I'm going to bring a copy down here of the verses that's left out of the Bible. It's one chapter. I think it's in the book of Mark. That it don't have but one or two verses in it. But the rest of it is left out in that chapter. Why is it left out? Because it's the conviction through God's word. They don't want conviction. People today don't even know what conviction is. They don't realize that what they need to do, they need to get on the face, they need to get on the prayer closet, and they need to ask God, say, God, give me a set of convictions. You give me the set of convictions that you want me to have. At one time there, I was looking to another preacher for convictions for me. I was looking to him, and I seen his convictions. And I was saying, Lord, that's what I need. I need that. I don't need somebody else's conviction. I need the conviction that God gives me. Because once he gives me that, once he gave me that conviction, then everything was fine. Everything was glory. It didn't bother me in what I said. It didn't bother me in what I preached. It didn't bother me in what I was telling people. Why? Because it was the conviction of God that was telling me what to say. It was conviction of God. The conviction that we have to have. And it comes through the old path. It comes from the word of God. It comes from the word of God that he settled there in heaven. He said, he's just given us a little portion of it. He's just given us a little tad of it. He's just give us just enough to where we can just taste it. And we want more. That's just like my daughter when she come home from work yesterday. I think it was yesterday or Friday. No, Friday. When she come home work Friday. Somebody down there from South Boston, one of our clients, come down there and brought each and every one of them a pie. That this place down there makes them. They're good pie. She brought us a coconut pie. I mean, not a coconut, a pecan pie. And I'll tell you what, when I took that pecan pie that she sliced me, to me, I think I got the smallest of the three, but you know. But they say I didn't, but I believe I did. But that's beside the point. But when I ate that pecan pie, what did that pecan pie do to me? It wanted me to ask for more. I wanted more. Why? Because that pecan pie was so good. It was so good. It just hit the spot. When I'm here reading God's word, when I get up here and stand and I read the scripture, it's just enough. It's just enough to whet my appetite. It's just enough to whet my hunger for Him. It's just enough to carry me on through that day. Oh, man.
Oh, yes, and when I get up here, and yes, and hey, once again, I want to apologize to each one of you this evening, for this morning that I went over and I went to 12:30. I know that.
And I know after I really got through preaching probably around 10 after 12, and the rest of the time I was just rambling, I was just talking. I mean, I don't know what it was. I reckon it was like it. They got that old rabbit on TV, and got that got their new batteries in there, and that rabbit. And that rabbit just keeps on going. I reckon my wife must have put me some new batteries in this morning. I don't know.
But I was just I love to talk. I can talk all day long about the Lord and what the Lord has done for me. Why? Because I fell in love with Him a long time ago. I fell in love with Him almost 37 years now. And I'm still in love with Him. I've never asked Him for no divorce. I've never asked Him just to leave me alone. Never have. Oh yeah, it's been some times that I didn't do the things that He wanted me to do. But I was just
a child. That's what we all are. It's just God's children. Did you realize that we are growing every day? Spiritually, we are growing every day. How many times have you ever thought about when you're in the Bible and you're just reading or you're praying or something like that and you say,
I'm not growing enough. Hey, we get in here, we can read God's Word. I can read God's Word. And when I read it, there's always something new. Always something new. Why? Why is there something new? Because God breathes.
God breathes on these words. God breathes on this book. That's the reason it's new. God breathes on it. This is the Word of God. This is God's Word that come from His voice. And it's been settled there in heaven, but yet we want to change it. We as individuals, we as people, we want to change it. We can't change it. We can't change it. We want to. Oh, yes, if they have, they've changed it. Well, see, the thing about it is, I can go get their so-called good housekeeping book that they read their scripture from and everything. I can get that. I can't make no copies of it. And to give it to nobody. Why? It's got a copyright on it. I can copy this 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and then on leap year, I can add another day to it. I can copy it, and I can give it out freely. To anyone. They don't have to worry about if I give it to them that it's going to be illegal because it says it don't have a copyright. God's Word don't have no copyright. God's Word does not have a copyright. Only man, what man writes, has a copyright. But what God pins down is no copyright. You know what that tells me? That tells me that he's asking me, he's asking each and every one of us, that we must do all we can to get the Word of God into people's hands. Get the Word of God in people's hearts. We don't have but a couple Bibles back there, but if we had other people coming in, they weren't saved or something like that, and they came in, they got saved. Yeah, I'd give them a Bible. The church should give them a Bible. We'll run out. We should go and purchase some more Bible for the church to give out. Because I would rather for that individual that comes in to this church, into the church that God has allowed me to be the under shepherd of, I would rather give them a Bible if they just got saved than for them to go to the store, the Christian bookstore, or the family bookstore in the mall, or downtown, the religious bookstore. Because 9 times out of 10, and probably today maybe 10 out of 10, they're going to go in and they're going to ask the one there at the register or the one that's working that day, where's your Bibles? That's what they're going to ask for. Where's your Bibles? They don't know the difference from a King James. They don't know a difference between a King James, the NIV, the New Living Bible. They don't know the difference. And when they get over there, they're going to say, what's this right here? It's King James. Here's one right here, a New King James. What's that about? Then you get over, there's a New Translation. Here's the NIV. And if they ever pick up the NIV for the first time and compare it to a King James, they're going, 10 out of 10 times, they're going to walk out of this store with the NIV. Why? Because they can read it and it makes sense to them. But see, they're just a young babe in Christ. They have not got to the maturity of it to really understand. They don't understand. They have not got to the point in who in the Bible teaches them what God's Word says. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said this time and time again. I'll continue on saying it. Don't get me wrong. Education is fine. Education is fine. Some people can go to the Bible college. They can get all these degrees, PhD, doctor's degree, and all of that. Well, did you realize something? There's no college in the United States of America. No college now. No college in the United States of America offers a doctor of divinity. No one. You know where Jerry Falwell got his doctor's degree from? Where he put doctor on the front of it? You know where he got it from? He got it from an individual at Cornell. It's online. He never went to college. He never went to college. Even the Kennedy that was down in Florida, I believe it was, had a doctor's degree. He never went to college to get it. Charles Stanley, he has a doctor's degree, a doctor's of divinity degree, but he did not get it from a college. This is the first time I've ever said this to anybody, except for James Albert. He knows about it. But I went, and I took the same course that they took online. And I passed it. Did you realize that they sent me back a piece of paper saying that I was a doctor of divinity? Why? Because I went to their university online. I don't claim to be no doctor of divinity, but that's what they say. I don't need to be a doctor. A doctor's not going to do nothing else for me than what I'm already doing. Me having that doctor's degree is not going to allow me to preach any better than what I can preach. It's not going to teach me no more than what I know and what God gives me. I heard that one preacher, Lee Robinson. You know, he's dead now and gone. But I've heard him say himself. He said, I have a doctor's degree. I have a doctor's of divinity degree. I got it like the rest of them gets theirs. I went and I ordered the home study course that they had at that time. That was before the internet come out. But he says this. He did, and he said it on the radio. He said it in one of his messages there. He said that doctor's degree, only thing it says is what it says on that paper. That piece of paper does not say that I am a doctor of divinity. It's just a piece of paper saying where you went to college, where you went, and you took the, and you give them your life's history and what you have learned through the years. And what you've learned through preaching. And what you've learned through. That's how everybody gets them. You can get one. All you have to do is apply for it. So all you have to do is apply for it. And you can get it. It just gives you. It just asks you to give out your experience of life, or life experience, or whatever, and in your Christian life. And then they'll send you a Doctor of Divinity degree on a piece of paper. Just like the diplomas that they give out in college. Which I don't, college, they say a doctor of ministry, a doctor of religion, a doctor of something else. But it does not say anything about doctor of divinity. Not unless they've changed in the last few years. But it's been about 10 years ago since I've had this. I don't claim to be no doctor. I don't claim to be no doctor. Only thing that I claim to be is an old-fashioned Christian, saved by the grace of God. God's called me to preach, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach me what His Word says. why would I want to go and spend probably $10,000 or maybe $15,000 today to go to any of these colleges, Bob Jones University, one out in California, Temple, or go to Liberty? Why would I want to spend all of that money going down when it comes right down to the bottom of it? I know who I'm going to depend on my learning. I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, they may teach me how to maybe do an outline. I got the outline right here. Right there in the Word of God. This right here is the Word of God. The old path. And I don't want to change. I've had somebody here in town, and y'all know him, and y'all know his wife, offer to pay for me to go to school. I didn't go to them. Matter of fact, at the time, I didn't see anything about schooling or nothing like that. They just come up and ask me, says, I want you to come down to the house. Me and my wife, we want to ask you something. I went, and that's what they offered. They offered to pay my schooling for me to go to school to a 4-year degree on Bible. And I told them both, I says, I thank you, I appreciate it. I appreciate you thinking of me that much. I said, but I could not take your money. And I cannot go to no Bible college. I cannot go to school and learn no more than what this Bible right here has in it. And I told him, I says, now, what I'm going to say next, please don't take it out of context or anything like that. And I'm not belittling you or nobody else. Anybody else who wants to go to the seminary, they want to go to 4-year college, they want to spend $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 for that, that's up to them. That's between them and the Lord. Right now, the Lord has not spoken to me about going to Bible college. And I says, and when he spoke to me about that, he showed me a verse of scripture in the Bible. And he said, son, I want you to take that verse of scripture, and I want you to take it, and you read it, and you look at it closely, and you see what it says. And I read the whole chapter in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 really basically tells us something about the Holy Ghost. Tells us who we depend on in the life that we're living. We are not dependent on God, even though we know that God is right there, is backing us up. And I'm not dependent on Jesus, even though I know he's there. The one that I'm dependent on is the Holy Ghost, the comforter. Because see, he's the one that comforts me, soothes my heart and my soul. And he tells me, you can do this. You can do this. Go by God's word. If you go by God's word, you can do this. When I got down to verse 26, it just, when I read it three different times. Each and every time I got something different out of it. But it clicked on the third time. It clicked on the third time. He's my comforter. You know what a comforter is, don't you? Somebody that's looking after your well-being. Somebody that's looking after you. Somebody that's looking after me and my well-being. Don't want me to be hurt. Don't want you to be hurt. Don't want you to fall and skin your knees. Don't want me to fall and skin my knees. That's the comforter. That's the one that I serve. Yes, I serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The three in one. But the comforter, he's the one that comforts me. He's the one that soothes my soul. If I get to thinking about something or somebody, and then it just seems like it just wants to bring up a tear, and I start seem like I'm worrying about him, he comforts me. He says, just pray for him. He says, if you pray for him, then I'll do the rest. That's basically what he says. But the comforter. But the comforter, but. Anytime you see where a sentence or a verse of scripture starts with the word but, B-U-T, don't rush through it. Slow down and read it. Because it's something that's important in there. And you will not grasp it just reading. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he will teach me all things. And then he will bring all things back to remembrance of my learning. If I read it that fast, and if I keep reading it that fast, I'm going to forget about what's in there. But if I look at that word but, and I say, but what? But what are you telling me? But what are you going to reveal to me? What did he really reveal to me? That my comforter, which is nothing, none of them, than the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. But the comforter. But, yeah, the comforter, he's the Holy Ghost. But yeah, he is the Holy Spirit. But what else is there? It's something, what else is there for me to understand? What else is it? Then I have to read on. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, what will he do? He will teach me. But the Comforter will teach me. But the Comforter will teach me. But the Comforter will teach you. But the Comforter will teach each and every one of us what the Word of God says. So why do I need somebody else and pay them $10,000 or $15,000? And then yet when it comes right down to it, they're going to read the same verse of scripture I just read. Well, I'm doggone. You know, I've read that same verse over and over and over again, and I thought it meant the same thing. And and you gonna tell me it meant the same thing what I said, and I'm paying you $15,000. I said, you know something, my church could use that $15,000. We need to realize it's not what I do. It's not what you do. It's not what Faith Baptist Church does as a whole. But it's what the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and what they will do. We need to leave them doing their job. They have given us a job to do. You know what that is? He gave us the job when Jesus went back to heaven. He's sitting now right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for me and you. He's my lawyer. And guess what? This lawyer that I have, I ain't paid him a dime. I ain't paid him one red cent. And guess what? He never has lost a case. And he never will lose a case. Why? Because he has a personal relationship with the judge. He has a personal relationship with the judge, God the Father. See, Jesus is not going to judge me. That's God's job. I love him tonight. I want to be what I can be for him. I'm not here to be to the point to where people can look at me and say, well, you know something, I'm going to tell you one thing. He sure is a wise man. I mean, him up there preaching. And, you know, it just seems like God gives him this. God gives him that. Hey. I don't want nobody to look at me for nothing. I don't want nobody to remember my name. The only thing that I want people to remember is the one that I speak about. That's the reason I believe and I think that every preacher and every pastor needs to be called pastor or preacher. They should not even use their name. Because when you use the name preacher, you know that somebody's called you. When you use the word pastor, you know also that they just ain't called you. But the Lord has burdened them down. Because when I surrendered the call to preach, that's all I thought I was going to do. I was going to just go and preach. I was just going to go in church after church, just preach. But then one day, God there, he spoke to me. And he says, I want you to go. And I want you to pastor. I said, Lord, this is exactly what I told him. I said, Lord, I can't do that. I don't have the heart for it, Lord. I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, and you're so strong-headed that that's what you want me to do, you're going to have to give me the heart of love. You're going to have to give me a heart that I know nothing about right now. Because I cannot do it. He says, I know you can't do it. He says, you ain't telling me something that I don't already know. I know you can't do it. I know you can't pastor no church. Matter of fact, you can't even preach. I said, wait a minute, Lord. I said, you say I can't preach. I said, Lord, you don't want to call me?
He said, but you can't preach without me, though. Exact words I said to him.
And I run from him. I literally run from him. I took on jobs that I knew that at the time I could not do it, and I didn't want to do it, but I took them on. Because I wanted to think about, I wanted to get my mind off of what God wanted me to do. I wanted to get my mind, and I want to be concentrated on the specific job that I was doing. I could not do it by myself. We cannot even live a Christian life without Him. We can't even breathe without Him. Did you realize when I start down these steps, if the Lord did not have me, and if He won't hold on to me, then what I would do, I would step off and I would step down to the floor. That's what I would do. But no, the Lord says, there's a step there, son. You need to step on that step. Did you realize that you can't even get up out of your seat without His help? We can't do nothing without Him. We got so much to thank the Lord for. So much. And sometimes we don't do it. I don't do it. I have so much to thank Him for. But sometimes I just don't do it. Why? Because I live in the fast lane. The hurry up life. That's the reason people went and they flocked to the stores back in the late 70s and then the 80s when they first come out with the microwave. All they said, they said, that's something that we got to have it. We have got to have it. That's going to cut down on time. We ain't gonna have to worry about spending no hour or hour and a half or 2 hours in the kitchen and fixing supper and doing that. We wanted it instant, right then. See, you know what we should have done? We should have left the microwave off. We should have just went on and kept going the way we was going. Because on Sunday afternoon, I could remember going to my grandmother's house. And Sunday afternoon, we'd all eat. She did not fix a thing on Sunday. Don't think she done. She may had warmed something up. And that was it. But she done all her cooking on Saturday. And she spent all day in there cooking on Saturday. But she didn't do no cooking on Sunday. Except maybe to warm the bread up or something like that. That's when families got together. Families don't get together no more. We don't get together. We don't get together, and we should. Because you know something? The family that we do have now is the only family that we're going to have. And God has not promised them. Matter of fact, God has not promised me or you or no one else tomorrow. The only thing that God has promised us is the next breath that comes through these lungs that I have. We must realize that yes, there are people out here that's in need of help. There are people that I know is going to hell. There's people that you know that's going to hell. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? If we cannot reach our family, if we can't even go and talk to our family about the Lord, then what makes us believe that we can go out there and talk to a stranger about the Lord? You know the reason we say that? Is because that we will always say, well, you know, that stranger don't know that much about me. But now my brothers, they know all about me. My sisters, they know all about me. My mother, my father, they know all about me. They know what I used to do. They should be the one to see, hey, that you've made a change in your life. You're not doing the same old thing that you used to do. Me and my stepfather, we went out and we got together on Sunday morning while Shelby and my daughter went to church. We got together and we went up under the shed on Sunday. And we had a log splitter up out that we made. And we used that and we split logs just about all day on Sunday. And we was having a good time, we thought. I mean, I would not ask the Lord to take them memories back from me, because I do remember them. But I'm so glad that he got saved. I'm so glad that he got saved. It wasn't long after he got saved, he went home. He went home with his Heavenly Father. And my mother thought he was still lost. My brothers thought he was still lost. It was all in the room and they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand me while I was there. And I was just looking up. And I said, thank you, Lord. Then we all went out of the room, went into that little small room where the family gathers and everything. And while they was in there talking about the arrangements and for what funeral home's going to pick him up, pick the body up, I told my mother and I told the nurses, I said, I'm going in there one last time. I knew when I went in there that he won't die. I knew that. I knew that the only thing was there was a corpse. It was an empty body. The spirit was not there anymore. But let me tell you what. After the Lord Jesus Christ took my stepfather home, God the Father, Holy Ghost, they were still in that room. They were still in that room just walking around. The air now was so thick that I couldn't even hardly get around. I couldn't even walk. And when I first made my first step and turned around to walk, I thought I walked into somebody. I thought it was a nurse, but it wasn't a nurse. It wasn't nobody else there. It was just me, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father. We was all there. Why why was all three of them there with me? Well, hey, says in split second, probably in a split second, he was in glory. He was in glory. And I was in glory too in that room. Because I knew he was saved. Another preacher had went up and talked to him. Led him to the Lord. I know he was saved. Because this is something that my wife can testify to the fact about what mother told us. When he got up that morning before he passed away. And I asked her, I said, Mama, what kind of night did he have? Did she have a sitter coming in? I think she had a sitter coming in. Well, she asked it, when she got there, she asked his sitter what kind of night he had. She said, well, he had a pretty good night as far as I'm concerned. Says because when he wasn't singing, he was praying. When he wasn't praying, he was singing. He was a man, if he got in your automobile, the first thing he would ask you to do is turn the radio off. He didn't want to hear it. But when my mother told me that, I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, even though I want that at the very moment, I'm going to close with this, please, Lord. I'm going to close with this, please. Y'all just bear with me one more second. Please. I've got to. But I tell you, when I heard that right there done something for me. That done something for me that day. That it had been a long time that I've ever experienced that feeling. And he had such a smile on his face. And he was an individual. He didn't smile that much. But he had the most beautiful smile on his face. He was singing and he was praying. And the whole time he had a smile on his face. That's what God can do. That's what God has done for each one of us. That's what God can do for the people outside of them doors tonight. I know tonight, probably in the city of Danville, I'm going to just say in the city of Danville, I bet you there's probably 10,000 people tonight has their eyes and they got their ears tuned in to the TV. What for? They ain't got the eyes and they ain't got the ears tuned into the TV because they have a famous preacher on there. No, they got the eyes and they got the ears tuned to that TV. Why? Because of a football game where people are running up and down the field. And don't get me wrong, I used to watch football and I used to love it. Since I got in church, I just don't have no time for it. Cause every time it was on, I was in church. I don't see no need in that. How many of them is going to wake up in the morning with, oh, my head is hurting? My head is just killing me. How many? Ain't no telling. They need to be told about Jesus. I love him tonight. I do. And if you don't love him tonight, just tell me you want to hang around a while. I'll just tell you how you can fall in love with him. But I don't mind staying. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'll go to us, go with us to our respective homes, Father, tonight. And, Lord, that you'll give us a good night's rest. And Father, that you will speak to our hearts tomorrow, that we may be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and just let somebody else know that we were just thinking about them. And yes, Father, that maybe you will be done spoken to their heart, so when they do get in touch with somebody, or when I get in touch with somebody, that the individual will bring up something about the church. Or something about the Lord. And when that happens, that's when the doors is open for us to share what a blessing you are to them. So go with us this week. Meet back with us this Wednesday afternoon. Help us, Father, we may be able to bring other people in. But Father, I know that you do not want us just to struggle here. And we're not struggling. We're just waiting upon thee. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen and amen.